Welcome to The Psychology of Success. I'm Caden Terry, and each week I help young hustlers actualize their infinite potential by featuring interviews with world-class leaders in business, sports, and health. Now let's get into The Psychology of Success.
All right, welcome back to The Psychology of Success podcast. Today I have Jace Vernon on, so a little bit of background on Jace. You know, I think I ran into his social media stuff probably 3 years ago before my mission. I saw him posting videos of him dunking in North Carolina, random places. Yep. And I loved it because he was posting all this content about real estate, cash flow, 10X, Grant Cardone stuff. So I was hooked. So you've been on my list to interview for a little bit, and I'm so pumped to dive into it today. So Jace, he owns YDraw, Red Marketing, and he's creating right now the Earth Spa. It's like this cold plunge and sauna. We're actually going there with the Winter Circle here soon. So you guys will definitely want to join to be able to come check that out. And he's a huge real estate junkie. Dude, how many units do you own? We were talking about this off a stupid amount.
Well, quite a bit. I have close 400 or 500, but then I'm partner on another probably 400 or 500. Then I got another 188 building now and 720 storage units. So, dude, I got good number.
So you guys are going to want to listen up today because I am so pumped to dive into this. So let's just start from the beginning, man. How did you get into business?
So graduated from college and came down actually to St. George, Utah to start. I was going to buy a window company by a guy named Eddie Erkenbrack. Got down here and kind of ended up not working out. Like, I didn't feel good about it. And it just didn't make any sense. The numbers he was saying, it was kind of all a lie. So I came down with a college friend and I asked him, I'm like, well, what do you know how to do? And he's like, well, I can do finances. And I was like, man, I like money. So I said, well, let's do mortgages. So we started mortgages, started a company and called Lucid. And it was perfect timing. And you'll notice a lot of the stuff I say, right timing, right place, right time, took off, made a good chunk of money. And that's where it all started. Started investing in everything from crypto. I mean, not crypto. I hadn't came yet.
Forex. Man.
Yeah, Forex into Forex, stocks, real estate. And then basically the 2008 crash hit and wiped it all. I think I went from like a net worth of $6 million to -3 overnight. I mean, it was ugly.
Same thing happened to my dad. So
yeah,
he had about $20 million in real estate in his mid-20s. Gone, dude.
Yep. It was ugly. So, yeah. So I started all over and, like, I basically went on pause, though, during that time because of the lawsuits, because of all the banks. So I just sat back, waited for the next opportunity, read tons of books. Read probably 150 business books that year. And then reset and started up again. So that was, and that's when YDraw came and then just blossomed again. Right time, right opportunity.
Yeah, totally. So I interviewed, for the listeners that don't know, you have to go back. I interviewed Jace's business partner, Curtis Pace, that he started YDraw with. So what was the story with that? It's been like, I think 4 years since I've interviewed Curtis.
Oh, has it been that long?
Yeah.
I was going to say, why didn't I know 4 years? He had an interview on a podcast.
At that point, dude, I was so small. I didn't even know what I was doing, bro.
Good. So yeah, I saw a video online with YDraw, and I was like, oh my heck, I want that. I wanted it to teach education.
Uh-huh.
So started calling around. So YDraw is whiteboard animation, explainer videos. So I called around, and I couldn't find anyone. And Curtis at the time was doing cement up north, and we've always been best friends growing up. So Curtis was doing cement, but he has a talent of drawing. And I said, Curtis, hey, come down here. Let's figure this out and let's do these videos. Because the companies I was calling, I found one overseas and they were charging like $100,000. It's like $100,000 for this?
What?
Yeah, it was nuts. And so we figured it out. Took us about 3 weeks. It's funny, we were over here messing with the projectors at Dixie, trying to figure it out. Trying to figure out cameras. We'd go to Best Buy, buy a camera. It wouldn't work.
Bootstrapped.
Yeah, we just bootstrapped it. And the day we launched our first video, and this was it, right product, right time, no one was doing them, our phone started to ring. And it didn't stop for 4 years straight. It was just like boom, 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 boom. Hit the Inc. 5000. And yeah, I think our first year we probably did $875,000 in revenue, 70% profit margin. Do the math. And yeah, went from there.
Holy crap.
So, yeah. Right timing, right product, right time.
Yeah. Have you seen that that's kind of changed over time? Because I know whiteboard animation was huge.
Oh, yeah. It's basically dead. I mean, what happens is we were one of the first to adopt it. Then you have all your overseas company coming in. Like, that's the way business is. You get tons of competitors. There was such good profit margins. Gets diluted. Corporations buy in. And then all of a sudden, it's just they die down. You have to reinvent yourself. I don't know if you guys or your listeners have read Who's Moved My Cheese? You ever heard of that?
Yeah, no.
Tell
us about it. I'll write it down.
It's a story about him and Ha. They're mice, and one of them, they're in this maze. One of them gets caught, always eating the same cheese, and the whole pile is dwindling. Like, it's disappearing. While the other mice goes around and finds another pile and moves, while this guy just keeps thinking, hey, it's going to stay here. He doesn't innovate. He doesn't do anything more. And I mean, it's a great story, but it applies. When your business, when you hit something, you kind of hit that, okay, everything's awesome, and people have a hard time reinventing themselves, especially big corporations. That's why you see the companies like JCPenney go down. Over time, they don't adapt. They become too big. They can't move. They don't innovate, and they disappear. So
it's so hard to do that in business, to pivot, because you get so focused. I mean, because you guys probably put in so much money and time with the whiteboard animation to, like, no, like, we're going to keep selling it. But when you didn't have a choice, like, how did you have the confidence to pivot, and what did you pivot to?
So reality is we're pivoting still. Like, and I get bored of things. So I actually made pivots way before. I made pivots probably 2 years in. I started pivoting myself into other stuff. But as far as the company Y-Draw, it's in the middle of reinventing itself now. I mean, it's lasted 10 years, a little more. And yeah, I mean, it's doing some cool things with TikTok right now that we're about ready to launch. And yeah, it'll have to pivot, because I'll tell you, the revenue just isn't that great. So
dude, and even outside of that, you pivoted to outside businesses as well. So
yeah.
You got Red Marketing.
So went into Red. It's typical agency, marketing agency, because that's what I like doing. I like Facebook. I like Instagram. I like TikTok. I like running ads, sites. I like creating and helping people with business. So it fit really good with me to start Red. And yeah, that's done. That I could be as busy as I wanted, but it's just kind of a cash cow. That's what it is.
So good. So you set up the systems to where you can just kind of step away from that now?
Yeah, I can and I can't. It's one of those things. Business, we're helping businesses grow. Basically, that's our job, is to help businesses get clients. And business is tough. So when they're not getting clients, when they're struggling, when they're having cash flow problems, they're calling us. They're saying, I need more leads. My business is struggling. What can we do? So it's almost like I've taken on everyone else's businesses, and our job is to help them grow. So it's kind of never ending. Dude, but I love it.
That's a lot of stress. It sounds like they just toss that problem on you. It's like, you need to fix it. We're paying you. Why aren't we getting leads?
Yeah.
Type of a deal. Or we need more leads.
Yeah. And I like it, because I perform great under pressure. Like, that's what I like. It's not easy. You'll find most marketing agencies get into the business, they last a few years, and then they're like, we can't take it. Because either they're not good enough, they're not getting their clients' results, but most of our clients have been with years, since it started. But it's tough. It's a lot of hours.
Dude, that's how I was. So I took an online course, because while I was young, so I told you, I had the mobile detailing business, and I started flipping cars. Then I was like, man, I want to learn this social media marketing stuff and get into it. So I bought an online course, spent like $1,000 on this course when I was like in junior in high school. I'm so pumped about it. And I took the time to take the course, created a business. It was called Get Cars Sold, LLC. So the whole plan was, okay, my niche, I'm going to go talk with car dealerships and run their socials and just provide them with leads. But I was not good at it at all. And I did not like it. It just was not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it for about 6 months, and then I pivoted and started getting more into Airbnb stuff and real estate. And that's where more my real love is. But Yeah, but it's funny because you just have to try those different things. And I found out, dude, I'm not good one bit at marketing, but I'm really good at sales. And so that's it, just it took that step, right? But marketing is tough, dude.
Yeah. Yep, it is. It is not easy. And where I struggle like this, like I'm good at doing the work. Like I can put in a lot of hours and I'm fine with working. I suck at building teams, delegating. Like there's just so many things that I look at myself and I'm like, I need to develop that. I mean, I have a lot of years to develop, but yeah, I just suck at that stuff. I can't imagine like running a huge organization. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Dude, well, you're putting in the work to overcome those weaknesses. I mean, you said you read 150 books in 1 year, and I'm sure you've read countless more since then.
Yeah.
Because I'm huge on reading as well, and I think our listeners would be curious, like, what are some of your favorite books?
Oh, The Norms. Tell me yours.
Dude, number one, Obstacles the Way. We talk about that book all the time on this podcast.
I like that.
Obstacles the Way, number one, 5 a.m. Club, number two. And then number three, it's so hard to pick. I mean, number three would probably be Extreme Ownership.
Mm. So good. I like this. I'm more simple reads. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Like that's top.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's changed how to deal with people. I like Think and Grow Rich. There's some good stuff there. Richest Man in Babylon. I mean, when it comes to making money, those are the ones. Bible's always good. Book of Mormon's always good. And I'm trying to think, what's a good person?
Shoe Dog.
Shoe Dog.
Everyone fires me up.
Shoe Dog, amazing. Yeah. Wanna know what I love about Shoe Dog?
What's that?
The sales guy. The one that pushed Phil Knight.
He's pulling the whole time.
He's pulling the whole time. Uh-huh. And no one ever thought. It's like that
and
was
he's
the
quiet.
Dude.
Like he wasn't even, so Phil wasn't even responding to his letters the whole time.
You imagine being him? Like
I'd be pissed.
Yeah. That was one. Elon Musk's biography, amazing. Warren Buffett's stuff is amazing. I mean, Steve Jobs, U.S. Open. What's his name? Andre Agassi, reading about their life. Outliers.
Yep.
You like Outliers?
I've read parts.
David and Goliath. Uh-huh. All those. My biggest mentor when, how old are you? 20?
20.
You're 20?
Yeah.
Hey. Right. So about 20, my biggest mentor, Jim Rohn. Do you know Jim Rohn?
I've heard the last name Rohn. What does he do?
Oh, he's dead now. Probably like the best mind coach. He was before Tony Robbins. He was Tony Robbins' mentor.
That's what I've heard. Yes.
Uh-huh. If kids, like if you just want to learn straight up, this is how life is. Jim Rohn, best. Watch his YouTube videos.
How did you meet him?
Well, I didn't meet him. I started watching YouTube videos. I'm like, I love this guy. Then I started to read his books. Then I just kind of dove in. I'm like, his philosophy is so good. So good. And it's all about, he says it all the time, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Man, he's like, you want to make more money, become a better person. That's it. And he just says it so good. But
dude, so that is a golden nugget I want to highlight for the young hustlers. So if we rewind back a little bit, I asked Jace, yo, wait, how'd you meet him? He said, oh, I didn't meet him.
Yeah.
With these mentors, you don't have to meet them. I mean, I think we take for granted. I've talked about this countless times on the podcast. We have so many resources. I mean, look at Phil Knight. I've said this countless times. Like, how much would you pay to have lunch with Phil Knight? I'd spend a couple thousand dollars, no doubt. Yeah. To just have lunch and just to talk with him. But we can literally do that by reading his book and have a whole week with him, man. And we don't realize that. I mean, we can have whatever mentor we want, whoever we look up to, all their content's out there.
Yeah. Like if I had what you guys had when I was in college.
Like, you're dropping out, bro.
Like I would be in class just being like, why am I listening to this teacher when I can watch
Grant Cardone?
Yeah. I can watch these guys teaching about real estate that are doing it. I can watch the best CEOs in the world right on my phone educating you about marketing. And it's just like, I can't imagine if I had that at 20.
Uh-huh.
Like, I wouldn't have appreciated it. Like, you guys have grown up with it. Like, I'm telling my kids all the time, guys, study. Like, I just put a text together with all my kids. and I'll send him things in the morning and say, hey, kid, here's something I want you to watch today. Like something that I sent him on Monday was music, how to read music in an easy way where some music teacher is teaching you. And I was like, I wish I would have had that when I was learning piano, but you guys can learn everything right on YouTube.
Dude,
it's such a hack. Such a hack. Like most of the stuff I learn now about business is all from podcasts, books. I mean, everything. And so that's been a huge part of your life, I can tell.
Yeah. 100%.
How has it been with in-person mentors? I mean, have you had like a big influence in your life?
Have I ever had a mentor? I haven't. I have never sat down with anyone like as far as mentoring ever. But I look at it, who's my mentor? Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, Grant Cardone, like all these people I watch, I just take what they say and I take what I like, I take and discard what I don't do. So
that is huge. That's a huge paradigm shift.
Yeah.
For everyone listening, I mean, you don't need to have a quote unquote mentor. You have hundreds of them online.
Yeah. Well, most of the problem, what a lot of young kids need to do nowadays is actually get to work. Forget about trying to find out, because your real mentor is when you're out working, when you're doing the work. I go back. When were the apostles called in the New Testament? You always look at it. They were out fishing. They were out working. They weren't out sitting. Opportunities come when you work. So if you want more opportunities, get to work. They'll come. And a lot of people are looking for the easy route, the mentors to say, do this. Just go start working and you'll learn. Right, that's where you get the education.
How do you know if an opportunity is right that comes up?
That's the hard part. That is the big part, that you have to have the guts to take it. Like most people don't have the guts because they're either stuck in a job, they don't have the finances to be able to take the opportunities that come. So I've seen too many people who don't save up their money. So when an opportunity comes where they can't take a paycheck for 3 months, they can't take the opportunity because they haven't saved. They haven't sacrificed anything. So when opportunities come, you have to make sure you're prepared. So have some resources to be able to take an opportunity and have a little faith that it'll be fine. And if it doesn't, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't think laying on a deathbed, you're going to wish that you hadn't have taken an opportunity. You'll be like, man, I learned a lot from that. And so when an opportunity comes, you take it. And then you can always back out and you can always say no. But I'm trying to think of some dumb opportunities I've done. Oh, yeah.
I even hear that.
Oh,
okay. It's just on the mistakes, man. Give us some stories.
Oh, man. This is probably my worst mistake I've made. And I still regret it to this day. It hurt some people. We lost a lot of money.
Yeah. How old were you?
24.
Still young.
24, 25.
Yeah, that's a young hustler right there.
Yeah. So 24, 25, this was back in the days of Finance Lucid, where everything was going amazing. I didn't know you could lose money, put it that way. So we had...
It's dangerous, bro.
I'm like, this is kind of embarrassing to even talk about this, but I'm going to tell. So we had a guy, he was an anesthesiologist, he was a doctor. He came to us and he said he had an opportunity. And the opportunity was, he was in the diamond trade. And we're like, okay, this sounds interesting. And he's like, he had done transactions before. So we're like, okay, well, what kind of return can we get? And he's like, all we do one transaction a month. You flip it. So here's my contacts. We get the diamonds from here. And he was African-American. We checked him out. He was an anesthesiologist, retired. He was trading. So we're like, okay, we'll do 2.1 million. And back then that was quite a bit. So we put together funds. We did 2.1 million. And said, okay, let's do this. And you operate on bank credits. And it's just so funny, the red flags that I should have seen. But so we jumped in, gave this guy 2.1 million.
Okay,
dude. Yeah, I could have compounded that many times for another. But gave him 2.1 million, said, okay, let's go. Everything was going good. We got the manifest. They showed us, okay, here's your order. Here's Brinks. Brinks is the people that deliver, who carry the diamonds and everything. So going great. And then all of a sudden it stalled. And we're like 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in. And we're like, oh. But they're calling us every day, updating us.
and we're like, okay, we're good, we're good. Well, all of a sudden, probably 8 weeks in, it hits. $400,000 comes back. We're like, business. Like, this is business, because every transaction we do, it would $400,000. And
jeez,
we're like, okay, this is going to work.
Yeah, totally.
Never happened again. So
what?
Years. I mean, you're talking years. I dealt with this, and I had friends, family. And I mean, we were all pumped. Like, we were thinking, okay, we're going to be rich as can be. But we were all pumped after that first payout. I mean, it got
yeah,
so bad. We're like,
taste.
You know what? This is amazing. Let's donate a bunch of it. Just crazy stuff. And
we're going to make plenty more.
It's going to be here next week. And yeah, and it ended up 4, 5, 6 years of then 7 years. I mean, the reality is every once in a while, I still get a text from the guy saying we're getting a deal this month. And I'm like, oh my heck. So yeah, it was 2.1 gone minus the 400,000.
You toss that your way as I go ahead.
Stupid. So that was an opportunity I should have passed up. 4X, same thing, 4X trading. We had some stuff there where we had an account. Once again, it was around $2 million. And we made one amazing trade, which made $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. It was quite a bit. And over time, then it just started to get worse. Like, trading was worse. And it got to the point I would be sitting there at night, and I had it on my computer where every time it would lose a certain amount, it would ding. So throughout the night, I'm just sitting there and I'd hear it ding, and I'd start to get anxiety. Still, if a phone today rings with that ding, it shoots cortisol.
I'll mute my phone, no worries.
Yeah. So that was another opportunity that, yeah, I mean, we lost a lot of money, and... It is. And the worst part about that, if it's my money, I'm good to lose. When it's other people's, it just sucks. Because people love money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you take their child. And so there was some, I mean, I had paybacks. I mean, there's been some stuff. I've been ripped off. I've had partners steal money. The list goes on and on of crazy stuff I've seen. Like, one time we had $80,000 show up in a FedEx envelope of drug money at my office. Like, that's how crazy it was. But yeah, live and learn.
Dude.
So,
how in the world do we avoid those type of experiences?
You don't, because they make great stories. So,
and learning experience.
Yeah, you don't. And you don't, like, don't fear that stuff. Because at the end of the day, if it doesn't hurt you, like, physically or anything that causes you, if you lose money, you lose money. I mean, I always tell people, you need to lose it. Lose it. You'll get it back if you know what you're doing. If you got lucky, no, you may not. Now, if you're 50, 60, you don't want to be losing. It's just stressful. But when you're young, like, you're hustlers, who cares? You guys have time to get it back. You're 20 years old. If you don't lose a few thousand, a few hundred thousand, you're not playing big enough. You're just not. Like, and if you're scared of losing that, make enough so you're not. Like, but yeah, you have to lose a few hundred thousand, a few million. I mean, I've lost a million. So,
dude, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I tell my hustlers that all the time. It's like, what do you have to lose? I mean, you're not married. You don't have any kids. You're living with your parents. Like, what? Why not flip and go big? You know what I mean? Like, still go smart. I mean, do your research and your due diligence.
Yeah.
But still, I love it, because at this age, I have such a high risk tolerance.
You do. Well, yes. You'll probably have it the rest of your life.
I hope so.
You will. If you have a high one now, most people, like me, I have a high risk tolerance. I put a lot at risk, and it hasn't left me. I thought it would, but it hasn't.
So do you keep, like, a threshold, like a nest egg, to where you're, okay, I'm at this point, I'm not going to touch this money for my family? Or are you at time just all in?
No, I'm never, ever, even when I lost all that money, when I went broke, had to give the house back and everything, I still had $80,000, $90,000 in an account. So and that would have been a 2-year, 3-year, but I usually have probably a 10-year supply of cash all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't. I guess so. I'm really not that risky anymore.
Yeah, but you got to amp it up. Let's go.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't put it all online. I own my house. There are a few things as a dad where it's like, I want to make sure. Everyone's like, no, you should leverage your house. No, no, I own my house.
I agree.
Like, that's where my family needs to be.
Yeah.
And I have no stress. Like, so when I do take risks, I'm not bothered.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because your family is still going to be safe.
Yeah.
With the home, with the cars, it's all paid off. So it's like,
yeah,
just go play out with the rest of the money.
I mean, yeah. But when I was your age, I mean, I put some money at risk, but I always had a year's supply of cash. Never did I not. So I, young kids, like, there is power when you have a year's supply of cash, because you will take opportunities. You're not nervous. You're not stressed. You're not taking that McDonald's job because you have to. Like, so I get a year's supply of cash.
Dude, so if you're in our spot right now, you're 20 years old, a young hustler, you've got that cash or you're working towards it, where would you put that money?
Where would I put it? They tell you, well, you've seen TikTok videos, invest in yourself. I would, if you don't have skills, you need to develop skills. So buy courses, take the time to develop some skills. That would be one thing I would do. I would not, like, you guys are getting pulled into crypto, like crypto stuff. I watch all these, I get hit up all the time. I don't know if you guys get hit up on investing in this high trade, in Forex investing. I get hit up all day long on people saying, you should do this, here's my returns. Like, all of that stuff, you have to stay away from. Because one of why, that says it in Richest Men in Babylon, don't trust a bricklayer with your diamonds, okay? Do not, if you get a call from your aunt to tell you to invest in crypto, there's a problem there. If your aunt and uncles and cousins start investing in crypto, there's a problem. They don't know about it. They have no idea how it works. So that's normally the time you pull. So invest in what you know. So good example, Bins. Uh-huh. You've learned the business. Where should you put your money? Yeah. You should put your money in what you know. If you know nothing, put your money in learning something. That's what I'd say.
Huh.
So
that's a good answer. So I love that, because we can spend so much time learning so many different things. And I'm listening to the book, 10X is Easier Than 2X. Have you listened to that yet?
Yeah, he actually signed my book.
No way.
And?
Yeah,
and sent me one in the mail.
No way.
Yeah. That great book.
Dude, incredible. Mm-hmm. Changed my whole perspective, because I have been chasing 10 different rabbits, 10 different business ideas and opportunities, and I feel like I'm not quite catching any of them and capitalizing on my opportunities, right?
Yeah.
Where now I'm really narrowing it down on what I'm good at, and I've found that, and now I'm just going all in, dumping my money there, going all in, and then the cash I get from that, from the Bin Blasters, then I'll start looking at other investments. But for now, I'm trusting myself and what I'm good at, right?
Yeah, and that's smart, like way smart. I'm kind of a jack of all trades now, but I've have 20 more years on you to learn that stuff. But yes, when you're young, just what you're doing, get good at something like this, Bin Blasters, if that's it. Get good at it, put everything into it. It's gonna then produce enough cash that now you're like, I'm gonna go play real estate. I'm gonna go play this. But if you're trying to do everything, you're going to suck at everything. Mm-hmm. So just get good at something where the world will pay you money if you're good at it.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, it's hard, because I feel like your generation, I'm bad. Like, just with technology, it's like, squirrel, you're off over here.
Yes.
Or squirrel, oh, I'm over here. Because they're looking for that easy thing, and it's like, there's nothing easy about it. Work, get good, the world will pay you. Then once you make your money, go off onto something, like, then go into real estate, then go into investing. So that's how I do.
So like the book 10X is better than 2X. I listened to it this morning on my run, and it specifically talked about, okay, like if you're doing 10 different things, like you're going to do that decently well for only a certain amount of time, right? And people are going to start doing that same thing, those same skills. But if you pick one thing or two things that you're just going to get dialed at, and you're going to become the best in the world at that one thing that no one else can duplicate.
Yeah.
The world is going to pay you a crap ton of money for that, because you're indispensable. Yeah. No one else can even match that, right? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. If you've dabbled in with the book, how has that been like with 10X? Because the hardest part for me is cutting out. It's like the 80-20 rule. Maybe explain that for the listeners and how.
The 80-20 rule?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a big part. Like 20% of your work brings 80%. Like it almost in everything, 20% of your efforts bring in usually 80% of the results. 20% of your efforts in your investing bring in 80% of the results. So it's one of those things where if you narrow down and say, okay, what is the 20% that I'm doing that is giving me all these results, and then focus on that 20%. And it's given in everything. And I always look at it too as 20% of the real estate agents are selling all the real estate. 20% of the guys are doing this. And it's actually worse nowadays. It's probably 90-10. But yeah, 10% of your stuff results in 90% of the results.
So for you, as you've gone throughout your life, how do you cut out? This is what I'm doing right now. I'm cutting out the 80%.
Yeah.
How do you do it? It's so hard.
Well, you're probably better at it than me. I am not that good at it because you look at me, I'm kind of like squirrel. So,
but it works out.
It's worked out for me. I mean, but I go back and let's say if I would have focused on red marketing could be a $100 million company. Easy. So, but I didn't. What I did, I got into it and I'm like, we became really good. We're good at what we do. But reality is, if I would have got the CEOs hired, kept pushing it, kept growing it, doing all that stuff, yes, it would probably be worth $100 million. It's not. And I'm okay with it because I like what I do. I like when people say you need to do this, you should focus here. It's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'll do what I like. I wake up, do what I want. So I like to be in real estate tomorrow. I like to do red tomorrow. I don't focus like that.
Okay, so let's dive more into your real estate, right? I mean, because you said you had, 700?
Lots.
I should put this account, bro. So, I mean, I was talking off air with Jay. It's like, I can't even fathom making that jump. I haven't quite broken that mental barrier in my mind of owning whole apartment complexes and 10Xing myself. So it's like, walk us through that. And if you're a young hustler, I mean, how would you even get into real estate?
Yeah.
How do you scale?
So, like I was telling you before, the only reason why I've been able to play the real estate game really good is my businesses produce cash. So I create a business, my business produce cash, my cash then goes into real estate. That's the game I play. That's my whole game, is I take the money my businesses make, I then invest it into real estate. So very simple concept, and it's allowed. So let's say I make $1 million, Red brings in $1 million. I then have $1 million sitting there. So now what I do is I go look for apartment complexes. And like last one, we bought an apartment complex. It was 32 units. No, it was 75 units. And we bought it basically from an auction, from a bankrupt thing. And I just always have that cash sitting there for when the opportunity comes and I buy it. I go to the bank, I get the loan. I have plenty of cash flow. I have plenty of cash in the bank that the banks like me. We do the loan and we close the deal. So real estate is an easy game when you have money. When you don't have money and you're trying to do the no money downs, you're trying to do the hustles. Like, I can't imagine all these young kids that have bought real estate right now that have used loans, especially if they're adjustable because there's a lot, and that are making $200 or $300 cash flow. That doesn't make sense to me at all. I think they're going to get burned big time because I've seen it happen. So real estate game, go make money, save money, and then play the game and you'll be so relaxed. Like, it's an easy game because you pay the money. I sit back, I allow them to pay down my payments. I get depreciation for the young hustlers. Depreciation, taxes are your biggest expense in life. So you have to have depreciation. So I get the depreciation, which makes me pay less taxes. I get the appreciation because of time, and they're paying down my mortgage. So it's a good game.
So I know the hustlers right now, they're trying to understand, just thinking about it from their perspective, what depreciation means.
Yeah.
I know for a while that took me, it was a hard thing for me to understand. So let's walk through it.
So depreciation, basically, let's say you go buy an apartment complex for $3 million. You are allowed to depreciate that asset. So that asset is going to become like bricks are falling away. Yeah. Yeah. And so what the government says is, okay, you can depreciate that $3 million over a certain amount of time. Okay. You can accelerate that depreciation. So when I...
Can you really?
Yeah. Oh, and there's crazy stuff. You can do a cost-segregated depreciation, which, yeah. Real estate, understand why Donald Trump is as rich as he is and people play real estate. It's because the tax laws are written to benefit real estate owners.
Yeah.
Big time. So let's say I make $1 million this year. So a doctor, let's say me, I have my real estate. Let's say a doctor makes $1 million. I make $1 million in my business personally. They're going to pay $400,000 in taxes. Let's say I own a bunch of real estate. I can pay zero in taxes. I keep my $1 million because my real estate, I got a K-1 or a loss. I show my real estate losing money of $1 million. So then I can turn around and write that $1 million off. I mean, it gets more complicated. Talk to your accountant. But that way, I'm able to keep more money in my pocket. Now, you have to recapture. There's stuff called recaptures. But at the end of the day, real estate saves you so much money on taxes. And you can put it off. So you can just keep rolling your money into more real estate. And it's that easy. But yeah, you'll learn with time.
So where do we learn about this? Because for me, I learned from YouTube and from YouTube. My dad, because he's a huge mentor, but...
YouTube, and then you buy your first unit. That's it. Like, there is no other way to learn real estate than to be in it. Like, learn how to buy, learn how the transaction, learn about title companies. And what you do is you buy it. Like, you've bought real estate, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You're in the game. Hey, that's it. And then you now, when you have enough money, you upsell, you just trade up.
Yep.
You go from two
Snowball
units to four units. You go four units to 16 to 18. Yeah. And that's, you just keep going. And it's a great game. Like, yeah, I cash flow a lot of money. My apartments now, yeah, I could have retired, but I don't. And they just
produce. It's passive. It's just all passive. You're sitting there and you're collecting that check and they're paying off the mortgage.
Yeah. What did I? There was my passive. Let's take a look. Your young hustlers would like to hear this.
Yeah.
I'll give them numbers.
That's the
whole
goal. I mean, we talk about this, like figuring out exactly what your life like expenses are every single month, and then getting. I mean, Robert Kiyosaki talks about it. Getting your passive cash flow to exceed that.
Yeah,
and then you escape the rat race because then you don't have to work for your money. Your money works for you. Like, if say my life costs me $5,000 a month, if I can get enough passive cash flow through different apartments and different real estate investments to reach 5,000 and above, then I don't have to keep working at McDonald's. You know, you just step
your done.
And you just keep snowballing that money and then it's passive. You can go golf all day.
Yeah. So here's simple. I mean, here's four checks from my C-class properties: 6,321, 7,956, 36,267, 18,260. I mean, those are...
Monthly?
Those are, those are hot. These ones are not, like, I got monthly. These are just my C-class. These are quarterly. So you do
what
that.
What C-class?
So these are my C-class properties. So I got A-class properties, which don't cash flow as good. And then you have B-class, C-class. They're kind of dumps, but they cash flow amazing. So I own a bunch in, like, Cincinnati. And if you went, you would not want to live in them. Like, they're just part of the poor neighborhoods. And they're just rough. Like, they just are not amazing. But the government will pay most of them.
That's ringing a bell. Now.
Section A.
Yep.
They're Section A.
Yep.
But they're called C-class. And for me to buy 70 units, if I bought 70 units here, I'm millions. Back there, yeah, I'm a couple million, 3 million. But yeah, these are C-class properties and the cash flow, yeah. I mean, this ones are quarterly. These four are. So every quarter, 300. $400,000 a year.
Because that's a barrier I'm still trying to break too, is investing in real estate outside of just St. George. I mean, where did you find those deals? Oh, how do you find them? It's like,
so that's another thing. I have people searching. I teamed up with a guy named Matt. He's been awesome.
Locally?
No, back there. You can't manage these properties unless you have some boots on the ground. You'll get burned. So you need to have somebody there.
Property manager?
Yeah.
And a partner.
A partner. So I make people partners. So I'll come in. They can have a choice of putting in money, but I'll give them a piece of the pie that's worth it. And then they manage it. And if it does well, they do well. So, but you'll get burned. Property managers on C-class properties, you'll get burned.
Why?
They just don't manage them like they have to be. You kind of have to be ruthless. I would be terrible property manager.
Dude.
Yeah, you imagine evicting people that are poor. Like, I couldn't do it. So, but he kills it. Kills it. I have no stress. I don't worry about it. Get the checks.
So that's an interesting principle as well. You give him a piece of the pie, right? You're not afraid. Because that's what I found in a business is like, if I pay someone a salary to manage something, oftentimes they don't take the ownership to actually run the business and to grow it, right? But if you give them a little piece of the pie, then that helps.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But it's like, how did you get to Cincinnati, bro?
Because these camps, I travel to play in basketball camps.
Like Duncan, bro. Go to his Instagram right now.
Yeah, my claim to fame is I did dunk on Shaq. That's my claim to fame. So everything I have is Ask Jace at Ask Jace. But my claim to fame is I dunked on Shaq camp. So
oh my God.
Only 6 foot one white guy to dunk on Shaq.
Legendary.
Yeah. So I do these fantasy camps and met one of the guys at one of the fantasy camps. He kind of helped run them at first. He told me about a deal, and that was a great opportunity. I looked at it. I could have said no. I said, yeah, let's go.
Right time, right
place. It was amazing, and it's been amazing. And we bought a ton during the COVID mess. That's another thing. COVID hit. Everyone was running. We jumped in. And we had like an 8-month, 9-month period where we just killed it and bought so great. Like, I could flip these things for so much, and we just bought them low. Cash flow was
now,
awesome.
Cash flow is just stupid on them.
Yeah. Yep. It's like people, when they see our cash flow, they're like, how do you guys do that? It's like, we bought them right. We manage them right. Like, we are at 95% occupancy. We get paid 95%. Like, we manage them really well.
So when you're sitting there with that cash, are you just waiting? Like, how do you know when it's the right opportunity? I mean, if the market's down, then you just jump at it. Yeah, just straight math.
It's straight math. So I look at it and I say, okay, I have a million sitting here. I want to hit my numbers of 15 to 20% return cash on cash.
Simple.
And if it will hit that, makes sense, I pull the trigger. So
you always have cash that's on hand just waiting for it.
Yeah, very rarely do I not have cash on hand. And if I don't, I get access to it pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay. So what are you doing with that? I mean, because for me, I know if you're just leaving it in a savings account.
Let's say I leave $1 million at Mountain America, which I actually think I probably have $1 million sitting in Mountain America. It's what's it paying? 5%. So it's paying me $5,000 a month. If I threw that $1 million into something else, I'm making $15,000 a month. So it does hurt.
Yep.
It hurts because if you're just sitting there and you're like, oh, this money needs to be at work.
That's where I'm at.
Okay. But your problem is, you can't force money to get ridiculous returns, and so you just have to wait for it. When it happens, you pull the trigger. So, and it's easy. It's kind of me. And so what my businesses do, they continue to put cash over into here, and then I just continue to collect it until the opportunity, and then boom. Pull trigger.
So your mindset now is like, so you got these businesses and they're just cash cows, and now you're focused on just dumping that cash in real estate.
Yeah. Or other investments. So another business, like I put $1 million into dental practice, and I mean that alone, so I kind of started some dental practices all at Wisdom Teeth, and we dumped $1 million into that thing, but now it's operational. It's right there on the cash flow. And so then that will start putting off cash. And as long as it should hit my numbers. But then you have an asset. That's the nice thing about businesses. I have now an asset that's going to not only pay off cash flow, but I also, it's worth a lot. Like dental practices, sometimes you can get 7 times money. So over time, that'll sell for big.
Dude, so for all the listeners, I hope this is firing up you up like it is me, because I just, dude, it makes me just want to go out and just grind and grind and grind and grow my business to get that cash, right?
Yeah.
And it's cool because now you've been able to have the freedom to work on other projects to really help people. Yeah. And one of those projects, I was talking to Curtis about it, is the Earth Spa. So it's the, for the listeners that don't know, it's the ice and the cold therapy. We'll talk more about it. But with the Winner's Circle, we're about to announce membership, how you guys can get on, because we have this whole group of young hustlers where we meet with mentors like Jace and we learn about this stuff and we go to their businesses and we do stuff hands-on, right? Because that is the best way to learn, in my opinion. And in the near future, we'll go check out the Earth Spa, do a little ice bath and cold plunge. Dude, incredible. So tell us about that project and why it's meaningful to you.
Yeah, so I play, like I said, I'm older, 43. So I still play a ton of ball. And I try to stay young. That's the thing. Staying young is important. Staying healthy is important. That's way up on the list. So I've been doing ice baths, heat, like something men lose, and maybe even young guys now, I don't know. Testosterone goes down, HGH goes down, all of those things go down. So the spas, you go in hot therapy, so you have the hot spa that we're building, then you walk right into a cold plunge, and cold plunges, you're seeing it on TikTok, the benefits.
Incredible.
Yeah, your endorphins go through the roof, and I actually think it helps with discipline. If you can force yourself into a cold 40-degree bath and just sit there for 7 minutes, you walk out kind of feeling
like you conquered the world.
Yes, you do.
No better feeling.
Yep. And then the other thing that a lot of people lack is oxygen, red light therapy. And so we're just putting it all there. So you come in, you do the circuit, you get up, you go every day. It's not like come hang out. It's like get in here, do what's awesome for your body, and then go conquer. That's the concept behind it. And we'll expand out into hyperbaric chambers, supplements, stuff like that. But for now, it's get in there, get those four things, heat, ice, air, light, get out.
It's so good. So when is that set to open? Do we have a date?
I think about 45 days. Yeah, it was supposed to be just get it in, get it done.
That's what it sounds like with regulations. I mean, Curtis was telling me at the gym, like, bro, yeah, like, no one's really done this. So the government doesn't understand, like,
weird rules of, I guess you can't have the tub bath.
Yeah. I didn't know. Are you kidding me? We're like, trying to provide the service to help people. Just let us do it.
And I wish, it's a good thing I have Curtis on this, because I would have just started.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have thrown it all in there and been like, okay, we're operational.
Yeah.
Pisses and he's more attention to detail. And so we're doing it the right way. I mean, this walk-in cold plunge is going to be awesome. It'll look cool. So we'll see how it goes. And then we might franchise it. Like, that's the key, is build it, get the clientele, make sure people love it, serve them, and then franchise it out.
Do it.
But I know nothing about franchises, so it'll be interesting. Maybe I'll be coming.
I'm learning, bro.
Yeah.
I'm learning. For real. I got you. Yeah. So. Dude, that's incredible. So I've learned so much today, man. Before we wrap up with the last couple of questions, how can my listeners serve and support you with what you got going?
They don't need to support me. You know what? Like, I'm here to support them. If they need something or have questions shoot me an email. I'm pretty open. Text. I am busy. I'll always get back to you eventually. So don't feel hurt if it takes me a day or two. But yeah, they can reach out to me and I'm willing to help them. I mean, they can always come hang out, whatever.
Yeah. Social media is Ask Jace, man.
Ask Jace.
That's all it is.
On Instagram, yeah.
And what about, I mean, for the hustlers that have different companies, how can they reach out to you about marketing stuff?
Oh, yeah, just go to Marketing by Red, or once again, get me on social media, send me a DM.
Okay.
If you have questions, we can audit. Like, that's a big thing. Now I kind of tell people, if they can afford us, great. If not, here's what you need to do.
I'm kind of an open book like that.
That's great.
Show people what they should do and then see if they put in the work.
Yeah. Okay, and then the spa is going to be opening here soon. Winter Circle, we will go check it out.
Oh, yeah, you guys.
So you guys will want to sign up. We'll be announcing it soon how to get on board. But yeah, dude, so let's get into the last two questions. So imagine this, man. Imagine you can prescribe anything to the entire world.
Yeah.
And they have to do it for 30 days. What do you tell them to do?
Number one, go live with poor people.
I would love to send out. That's kind of why I've been just shipping myself off to Mexico a lot lately, is I just love to be around people who have nothing. You feel better. It's just huge benefits. You're more grateful for what you have. You see what you have. And so I always tell people, everyone's like, go hang around with the five most wealthiest. I'm the opposite. I'm like, go hang around with poor people. You want to feel wealthy, go hang around with poor people and watch what they do. You'll come back different. Mm-hmm. So do that for 30 days.
Mm.
So that's one.
It's powerful.
Yeah, what else you have?
So good. So yeah, dude, last question is like, I want you to imagine that you've achieved everything you've ever wanted in your life,
uh-huh.
Right? You're on your deathbed. Have you written a book yet?
No.
Not yet.
I've tried many times.
Dude, you'll have one.
Yeah. The stories I have about crazy stuff, I need to write. Like,
yeah.
But.
Dude, okay, so imagine that. Imagine you've written the book that you visualized, right? You have all the rental properties you have incredible family life, everything, dude, is just set.
Uh-huh.
But you're on your deathbed and the world will completely forget everything about you besides two things. And these two things are called the two truths. It's things that you know to be true because you've lived them and felt them. Okay. What will those two truths be for you?
One of them's like, I want people to have a little more faith in yourself. Like, believe there's some power in just trusting that things will be okay. And I always tell people, you know what? Believe in yourself. I just don't feel like people think they can do it. It's like you have resources. You can learn. Everyone can learn. And so if people just have a little more faith in themselves and be like, hey, just take the leap. What's going to hurt? So faith's a big one. Trust in yourself. Have a little faith that things are going to turn out is one thing. Something else, I would say provide value. Like no matter what you do, you don't need to be rich. You don't need to be an entrepreneur. It's like just provide value for people, serve people. You'll be happy. Like more people you can help, happier to be. And it always goes back to who Jim Rohn used to say this, get as many people what they want and you'll always have what you want.